Welcome back to Beyond the Ballot. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Rory and Daniel. And I'm Max. And this week, we're focusing entirely on the political earthquake that's just ripped through British politics. Labour has suffered one of the worst local election results in modern history. Reform UK has surged across England and Wales. The Greens have broken through in major cities. And for the first time since becoming Prime Minister, Keir Starmer is facing open calls from his own MPs to stand down. At the centre of it is one question. Is this just a brutal midterm backlash or the beginning of a much bigger collapse in Britain's political order? So let's get into it. We start in Westminster, where Labour is now facing a full-scale political crisis after catastrophic election results. And the Tories have secured this local council. So, Rory, what are your thoughts on this amazing victory, really, for the Conservatives?
Well, I mean, along with Wandsworth, which the Tories have also regained, not with the majority, but they have a plurality, these are two flagship councils for the Conservatives. And this is a real win for Kevin Badenoch in light of all the other otherwise disastrous, really, results that you've seen, particularly in East Anglia and in the East of England. This is really good. These are two councils, obviously, that Kevin Badenoch really wanted to, or two naturally conservative councils that, other than 2022, have consistently voted conservative for 50 plus years. Westminster specifically, the Tories overturned quite a substantial Labour majority and they now have their own convincing majority on the council. But this was really one of the tests of Kevin Badenoch's leadership. If she could not flip Westminster blue, then there were going to be some serious questions raised, but it seems like she's resoundingly flipped this council.
Yeah. And Daniel, hello, welcome to the show. We've not seen you in a while.
Yeah, I'm welcome sorry. I'm proud to be back.
And looking from maybe Kevin Badenoch's perspective, okay, despite winning this council in Westminster, wouldn't you say that there's almost, they've obviously lost seats as well up and down the country. Do you still think the Conservatives are the largest party on the right?
Well, I mean, I have to say, obviously not. Like, I think they are, I have to say, the more respectable party on the right, for sure, in the UK. But obviously the surge in Reform seats is undeniably showing that the Reform party are now, in that sense, the biggest party in the UK right now on the right hand, right? Regarding like the Westminster, Barnet and general central London, it's quite, it will be reassuring for Kemi to see sort of regain of their flagship areas, as Rory said. But overall, like the trend of London that you can see is becoming a lot more like fragmented.
Yeah, with the growth, with the death of two-party politics, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that's obvious now, to be honest, the death of two-party politics and sort of reflecting what the British public has been dragged through recently.
In what sense? Yeah, what do you mean they've been dragged through?
I mean, the cost of living crisis and the downward spiral of the NHS, the general Conservative neglect for about 13 years, and Brexit, which most of them probably don't recognise. So that's what I probably think is the downward
spiral.
How far
do you think that's the Tories' control? You say the NHS is crumbling. Surely that's Brexit.
No, that's
COVID.
I didn't mean to say like
say
that
Brexit.
Was,
maybe that's Nigel Farage who
dude,
turned
I didn't
that.
Mean to say that was because of the Conservatives. I'm just saying in general, the public has been dragged through. It's obvious that they...
No, but my question is how far is that political parties... No, not specifically the Conservatives, but political party.
Pardon?
How far is that political party's responsibility?
To what? To rebuild a National Health Service?
As far as the NHS is concerned. You said it's going downhill or something along those lines. But surely that's due to COVID.
How much are you asking is their fault?
How much I'm saying is it their responsibility?
Yeah,
it's probably not entirely their fault. But the thing is, right, like currently if we use an example of like Keir Starmer, who has lower approval rates right now than Boris Johnson did during the Partygate scandal or even during the Iraq war with Tony Blair. I mean, it's obvious that some hate is being, not hate, is being redirected onto the figure of the country right now. So I don't think that it's mainly to do with how much they're responsible for it, but mainly to do where that thing is directed towards, like, the people say, oh, vote reform to get Keir Starmer out. It's not exactly like it's anyone's fault. It's mainly just, it is their responsibility. It's not their fault entirely, but it's more like that's where it's going to be redirected. And so that's why we're seeing the fragments in London, okay. And we're seeing the end of two-party politics.
Right, okay.
And Rory, what, this is a little question for you now. Why do you think that reform has performed so well? I mean, they should be really proud of themselves, shouldn't they? I mean, taking control of Sunderland, it's a very monumental moment, especially for the party, who've... they were used to be the UKIP party and now obviously Reform UK. But in terms of why people are voting for them, do you think that their policies are ones that most people would want to support, would you say? Is that why a lot of people are moving towards them?
I think it's important to make a distinction. I think the difference between establishment parties and challenger parties that I think you see right now is that establishment parties are far more focused on policy and anti-establishment parties are far more focused on values. In the sense that reform, if I say reform, you're going to think immigration, basically immigration.
Yeah.
And if I say the Greens, you're probably going to think of higher taxes and arguably Gaza. With Labour, and what Labour's going to pump out is specific stuff like, oh, we are, I don't know what they're doing, we're increasing taxes on you all, we are
taking... I'm talking about Labour here, yeah?
Yeah, we are taking the country to absolute rubbish.
They're obviously not going to say that.
That is called a joke, it's called sarcasm. Right, okay.
Sorry, keep going.
Great sense of humour, guys. But I think that's why for the average voter who was less focused on policy, because they're not, the average voter's not really interested in politics, they're far more interested in values. They see their bills going up, they see they see their jobs, their housing going to migrants, and they get annoyed, and they know from Nigel Farage and the kind of rhetoric he puts out there that reform is clearly the... like way to vote, as is the Greens if you're a traditional Labour supporter who's been really disappointed by actually what this government's done.
A lot of traditional Labour supporters are voting reform instead of Greens.
Yes, but actually an important distinction is a lot of those people are people who voted for Brexit. And a key driver for people who voted for Brexit, immigration is a key factor that led to Brexit, arguably the key factor that led to Brexit. I mean, traditional Brexit areas, it's reform are doing far better, and in more Remain areas, the Greens are doing better, the Lib Dems are also doing slightly better, although they've always done quite well in those areas, because I think the Lib Dems are probably the epitome of the establishment, considering they're quite liberal,
But they've done quite well, haven't they? Wouldn't you say at the council elections?
They've made gains for the eighth year council year in a row. They've not made huge gains, however. And I think everyone's going to say, "Oh, the Lib Dems are doing so well," or "Oh, we're doing so nice." You're not. You're averaging at about 11% in the polls. The situation looks quite dire because you're being outflanked by Zach Polansky. Meanwhile, your leader's in a wetsuit and he's going down water slides. And
Daniel, come on.
But I'll tell you what else is going down a water slide. Is the standing in the polls, and you can see that in local elections. Yes, they're doing well in areas that they normally do well, but apart from that, they're losing ground.
Yes. Okay. Daniel, response.
You can rebut that.
Yeah, okay, so I'll say, in the general area, right? Mm-hmm. So Conservatives lost a considerable amount, 563. I put that down to the rise of Reform Party and the loss of the two-party politics in the UK. And I think the upwards trend in Liberal Democrat Liberal Democrat is not, they're not going, oh, yay, look at me, I'm going to go down a water slide. It's a bit like, it's more just like, it shows the consistency that they have, it shows the reliability that they have.
What reliability?
A reliability to perform better and better in every single election, rather than Conservative Party that have just lost 563 seats. And Labour, who have lost...
they've lost more than 1,000, yeah.
1,500. And I think, like, often the right in the UK try and say, like, oh, Ed Davies, he's good for nothing, he goes down a water slide.
Yep.
But people sort of neglect what the Liberal Democrats did.
What did they do?
Right, the coalition of the Conservative
Party. They broke their promises on student debt, and they got completely booted out of the coalition. That's what they did. And you're going to come to me and tell me that we're all so nice, or they're not going down water slides.
No,
tell me what Ed
Davies
was doing last election.
We're comparing the Conservatives with the Liberal Democrats, are they?
What do you mean?
Is that what we're doing? Comparing Lib Dems to Conservatives?
You're saying that the Lib Dems are doing really well, and you said that they...
I'm saying they're doing well, yeah.
They are doing well.
You're saying they're doing well in the polls, that they're doing everything. You can say that they're doing really well on results.
I say they're doing consistently good.
Okay, well, they're doing consistently badly in the polls. And honestly, councils, yes, they're important.
They're doing badly in the polls, but yet in the actual elections, they did where we are.
Yeah, they're really good when in local elections, because actually... That's a really good point you raise.
Yeah.
People don't trust the Lib Dems at a general election, which is why you see them vote far more in local council elections, because they don't have such obscene consequences for them. You then come to the election. Yes, they did really well in 2024. I will admit that, and I agree with you. But it's not like they did extremely well. They only got up about 1%, 0.5% actually in real changes between 2019 and 2024. They receded slightly, going back down to the low. Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it here. They've gone about to about 10, 11% from a high of about 15% this time last year. So, I mean, talk about your momentum and everything you want to say about that. But the Tories, you want to say, oh, well, people trust the Tories. That's why
I don't think they do, to be honest.
I don't think they trust the Tories.
Agree that people don't trust the Tories anymore.
The handling of Brexit did not exactly help them. Yet. They don't trust the Tories yet, because they haven't really come out and done as Ruth Davidson
said. Well, yeah, because of the position they were in, they've had to rebuild.
Yeah, and they're rebuilding.
Well, but that's from losing trust.
You could ask Nigel Farage last year.
Yes, of course they've lost trust. Of course they've lost trust. It doesn't take an idiot to know that they've lost trust. Of course they have.
Okay.
So it's genuinely your personal belief that people will trust the... Conservatives sometimes.
People like
future.
Kemi Badenoch.
Yeah,
and people. What do you mean, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
She's the most popular.
She's the most popular party leader.
As in, what Daniel's trying to say is that not everyone is going to like her, but the majority of people would probably like her. Yeah.
Okay, obviously, some like blue haired green idiot is not going to like Kemi Badenoch. She's never going to.
Try not to say that for sure.
Hang on a minute. Well, blue haired green idiot.
I mean, the colour of your hair doesn't really mean much if you're a good politician, so. But continue.
Okay, fine. You've clearly not been looking at a lot of talk shows. My point is...
I'm not bringing talk shows.
Oh, okay, fine. What have you been listening to? What's your research
as far as how good the Lib Dems are?
No. You seem quite insistent. How good are the Lib Dems?
In a talk show?
No, I'm not talking about talk shows. You want to talk about talk shows. Tell me how good the Lib Dems are.
How good the Lib Dems
are clearly insistent that you like the Lib Dems. Why? What are they offering?
No, I'm just saying that they're doing well.
You seem pretty insistent that they are.
Insistent that I like them.
In a way that you do.
Yeah, I'm just like them in a way in which they're something different, and the Reform Party, right, the surge of the Reform Party is very scary for me, right? And it should be scary for quite a lot of sensible voters, right?
Why?
I'd much rather a Conservative...
Let's just address there that...
Elephant in the room. Fine, I'm not a Reform voter, don't worry.
No, I'm not saying that you're Reform, but like Reform... No, but like there are some aspects of Reform where I'd say... Okay, why would someone in their right mind vote for that?
They're just populist rhetoric.
Yes, exactly. I think about that. I mean, what do you want from a government? You want a sensible government that you can trust with your money, with your safety, with security, with your health. What Reform don't offer any of that. They just want to deport immigrants. I can understand some of the implications of that. What I think immigration is quite a complex issue, and I think is a real amalgamation of housing, the economy, and health. I think that all comes, and crime as well. as far as strain on public service is concerned. I think that's why you're seeing a lot of pressure as far as immigration is, and cutting immigration is concerned. Reform offer that. I totally agree that I think they're absolute lunatics. I'm never going to vote them. Don't worry about it. I never said you would, but okay. Well, no. Well, I mean, I feel like I've kind of advocated them for quite a lot. But we can move on from this Lib Dem Tory Reform Party debate, because this is the local election special. We're not talking about how good or bad the Lib Dems did.
Of course.
So, should we move on?
Yeah, go on. Where do you want us to go?
Considering we're talking about reform and the Tories a lot, let's move to Essex, Suffolk and Norfolk. So, Max, do you have anything to say?
Well, reform have obviously surged there, haven't they?
I would say that they've slightly underperformed.
You'd say they underperformed?
I'd say that the reform slightly underperformed. Actually, I think they've underperformed a lot.
Just those areas, you're saying, like not across the board, because obviously they've gained more than a thousand councillors.
Well, I'd say they've slightly underperformed across the board as well, as far as specific areas.
Yes.
I think there's a real divide. There's London, Anglia, and the north of England, I think, are the three main kind of story points, as well as some of the home counties in the south. So you've covered London slightly. In Anglia, I thought reform would absolutely sweep, like properly sweep, like 60 plus councillors on all three councils. In Essex, I think they only managed 13. People thought that the Tories would be reduced to like three council seats, and they've actually done 13. So they've done slightly better there. Still an abysmal result considering they've come down from 51 in Essex specifically. And considering half the shadow cabinet are in Essex or Anglia more widely, I think that's really concerning for the shadow cabinet and the Conservative Party more widely. But I think if you look at Harlow, which I know is really small, but quite important in the sense that it is in its own council, the Conservatives, people were saying, the Tories are going to lose control of the council. Reform are going to take all 11 seats that are up for election. How many seats do Reform win? Not a single one. How many did the Tories win? They won all 11, and they now increased their majority to 22 from 17. So actually, they've actually done much better in Harlow, and people are going to say, they've done terribly in East Anglia. Yes, they have, but there is still signs of life, if you will, in what many people are calling a dead party.
We're talking about the Conservatives here. You're referring to as
as
a dead party.
Well, I haven't heard anything like that.
You haven't heard anyone say that the Tories are dead.
I've heard some fruity language about the Conservatives, but I haven't heard anyone say.
Well, they're not exactly a dead party.
A lot of people, right wing commentators, are saying the Conservatives are dead. I mean,
right wing people.
Yes, you're talking about all the people. Okay, fine. Have you listened to some of the statements that Tory defectors make when they make the stupid decision to defect?
Of course Tory defectors would say that. That's the reason they've defected.
Yes, of course. So of course people are going to say... So John Curtis...
there's someone who's not a...
So John Curtis, he's the top pollster in the country. He's basically works for the BBC during election years. This time last year in 2025, he said the Conservative Party was dead. And this is from the top pollster in the country.
Who? Yeah.
Sir John Curtis.
Oh, this might be the guy I like. The guy on BBC that does the minute-long analytics of the polls.
I think that's sort of what I just said. He looks a bit like a scientist.
Yes, him.
Yeah, okay,
he's really
fine.
Old. I like him.
I don't like him.
Yeah. He's a bit of a...
I only watch
He stirs the pot slightly.
He's quite good on the BBC.
He wouldn't say on the BBC the Conservatives are dead party, so...
He wouldn't say that.
That's probably why I haven't heard it yet.
Okay, you've definitely not heard it yet because he definitely said that. We're talking about... Okay, look, considering that I'm a Conservative, I think even by my standards, we're talking about them quite a lot. Does anyone have anything to add about something they'd like specifically to talk about?
Well, I'd like to talk about Labour's collapse. But
let's talk about that.
Okay, let's go then.
Okay, fine. What council do you want to go to?
No, look, I'm just talking about they've completely... Okay, we'll talk about Wales. Let's talk about Wales.
We're doing England, come on.
Let's talk about Wales.
Okay, fine.
Let's talk about Wales.
You know what? Let's go for Wales.
On a broader scale.
No, let's talk. We could just say.
Look, this is not. Look, instead of going through each individual.
We're not going through each individual. We're looking at specific stories from the election.
Okay, but what about the actual message?
What do you mean the election message?
Well, what needs to change?
The Prime Minister needs to change.
Yeah, and the Labour Party needs to change. He's not going anywhere.
The government
anywhere.
Needs to change.
Unfortunately,
he's not going anywhere.
Fortunately, he's not.
I actually agree, for once, with Rory on this, that
he's gone.
Labour need a swap of
he's
leadership.
Gone.
But how? But
he's
not,
going.
Yes, but he's not resigning, though, is he?
No, but you know this thing called a leadership challenge?
Yeah, they're not going to be able to trigger a leadership challenge. They need 81 MPs.
Yes, they're already at 50.
Yes, but who are they? Yeah, but they're not going
30.
To do
they're
that.
A party of 412 MPs. And you're telling me that there is not a caucus of at least 80 people who are unsatisfied with
They won't trigger a leadership challenge.
Okay, I'm saying
it's
they will.
It's too early.
It is too early for what?
What are you talking about? Andy Burnham needs to get his... People obviously want him to be the next Prime Minister.
Oh, they're going
to
bring an Ange. She'll be a caretaker for now. Okay, fine. No, actually, that's an excellent point you've raised. And this is not a trap like I did with Daniel. But a lot of the people who are challenging are saying he should set up a timetable for him to go. He should go in about September. That works quite well with your argument that Andy Burnham is who they want to come in, because that is slightly unusual in the sense that they're allowing time, not for Keir Starmer to just enjoy the last few months of his premiership, but to actually let Andy Burnham in. So I do agree with that. And they want someone left-wing, which is the wider point I'm trying to make. And I think you want to talk about the north of England. That is really the story that you've seen. People are really disappointed with what Labour have done. They think, in a real paradoxical way, they're losing votes to reform because they're not being honest and they think the country's going to absolute pot. But then they're losing their own supporters who are going to the Greens because they think this government is going to absolute pot and the Labour Party is, and they've just lost all their values. So I think that's the main attributor as to why Labour has done so badly. In Wales specifically, I mean, this is the top, arguably one of the top stories of the night.
Yeah, of course.
Is Labour, which is traditionally like been, or Wales more specifically.
Well, Labour's dominated Welsh politics.
It has been arguably, bar London, probably the safest Labour region in modern political.
Well, now that's gone,
like,
they have to rebuild.
As Roy said, like, stories. Like, my friends, all of his family live in Wales, and they said, and I quote, "Even if Labour put up a rock in the middle of our park, we'd still vote for them." Like, it was just such an obvious thing for any Welsh voter. They'd just vote for Labour every single time. And I think, like, that it's just so much gravity towards their significant loss in Wales.
I think it's also a good thing that Labour are no longer the largest party in Wales. You know, they've been...
Yeah.
Well, they've been there since 1999. I think there needs to be a sort of shake-up, you know, give a little bit of energy into Welsh politics.
I think the shake-up is
make it more competitive,
to be honest.
Of course, it's unfortunate for Labour, but it's like...
Well, it's unfortunate... Oh, can I say it's unfortunate for Wales? Do you think it's unfortunate for Wales?
That what?
What the Nationalist
Party
has gotten in.
That a Nationalist Party in Wales is...
They are a very... I'd say they're quite a mildly Nationalist Party as of yet. I would say...
Well, they still don't have a majority,
about what
though.
Their goals
so.
Are.
They don't have a majority, but they are pretty damn close to it.
Sorry. So it was Plaid and then Reform in the...
Reformer in the mid-30s, they're in 35.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're not going to speak to Reform at all, what the leader of
Plaid. What I suspect is going to happen is that Plaid is going to form a minority government by themselves. But I think Labour is going to do some sort of confidence and supply motion where they're going to support the government with budgets, or the Welsh government rather, with budgets and confidence votes. But I think it's important for Plaid to not be really in any deep association with Labour, because that is really their USP, that Labour has failed Wales. And so I think it's rather hypocritical of them to say, oh, Labour's failed Wales, but we are going to bring them into a coalition because we want a nice handy majority. So that's my...
Well, they obviously don't want to work with Reform, do they?
Plaid is never going to work with Reform.
Yeah.
That's like having the Greens work with Restore Britain, or your party working with Restore Britain. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think... I mean, obviously, Plaid overperformed the polls. Reform slightly overperformed the polls. Labour, 11%. That is absolutely like abysmal. Yeah, like a laughing stock level, abysmal. Yeah. The First Minister, Eleanor Morgan, she lost her seat. This is the first person or first actual head of government to lose their seat in an election in more than 100 years. Like, in British history, that is, I mean, terrible. And yet you still have the idiots within the Labour Party who still think, oh, don't worry, change is on its way. It takes time. Don't worry, Starmer's going to come. Everything's going to go well. Like, I mean, it really tells you all you need to know about the
Labour Party. Think that, okay, so let's say this scenario, and you're saying that obviously something needs to change in the Labour Party, yeah?
Yeah.
Who do you think is more likely to make the first move then out of Angela and Wes?
Angie and Wes.
Who's more likely to go for it?
Because lifelong rivalry.
Realistically, none of them want to be the first person to trigger the leadership contest because they're just biding their time. Realistically.
Yes. I think Ange obviously decided to stir the pot earlier today with her little speech in Bournemouth, I think it was, to some trade union. I think... Well, I read...
She's very good at stirring the pot, isn't she?
Yeah, so. I think it'll be Ange. I think someone's going to make a move. I have immense respect for Catherine West. I actually saw her yesterday. I have, not in the sense that I like her policies, but to challenge Starmer, I think quite brave considering you're going up against 200 idiots within the Labour Party.
She's not really like that. No, as in she's not going up against 200 people though, is she? And the only reason she's doing it is because she wants the more senior members of the party to step up. So it's going to be like a domino effect.
Yes,
she's
not you're saying who's the first person who's actually going to make the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with Roy. It's quite brave.
I'd argue the call's already been made. What, if someone's challenging the leadership or was challenging the leadership.
Yeah, but like obviously she won't be able to get the 81, the 81 votes to trigger the leadership contest.
She will. She will get the 81 votes she needs to. She's not going to win the leadership contest, but I think if a leadership The way the Labour leadership elections work is that you need, currently, considering they've got, more than 400 seats, you need 80 MPs to actually trigger an election.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Yes, okay, fine. So you need, that's not 80 MPs, you need her in favour so she can become Prime Minister. That's so that there can be an election for a new Labour leader and therefore.
Okay, but let's say that she gets the correct number of MPs and it's just her up against Keir Starmer and no one else.
I don't think that's not going to happen, though.
Well, why not?
Because then you've got Andrew West to come in.
Yeah, but there are a lot of different possibilities of what could happen.
Also, Catherine West, she's not challenging the leadership.
No, she's challenging Starmer.
Yes, but she's not putting herself forward.
No, she's not, no.
No, exactly. So what do you mean? What if Catherine West just decides to run by herself? Because she's not
If she gets the... What if... Okay. She gets the 80 MPs.
Yep.
Okay, the leadership contest is triggered and no one runs apart from her.
Well, she's not running.
But what if she wants to run?
She doesn't. She's not running.
Yeah.
Well, then what's the point of her doing this then? To get people more senior
To instigate Wes and Ange to actually get off their arses.
But they won't.
Some action, I think.
What do you mean they won't?
Because
they want to be Prime Minister. Yes, they're absolutely power-hungry fools.
Now is not the moment.
People have voted for that.
Then when is the moment?
Well, that's the question. When is the moment? When are they going to do it?
The moment is now.
I think the moment is now.
Do you think they're actually going to...
Okay, let's look at the polls. Labour on a downward trajectory. If we're using our maths here, it means that over time, Labour are going down in the polls. They're going to lose support. Yes? So therefore, the longer you've got Keir Starmer in, the more support you're going to lose. Yes?
Yes.
Therefore, the more support you lose, the more seats you lose.
Yes.
So then what's the point of keeping her, or keeping him rather, if you're going to lose more seats?
There isn't a point of keeping him.
Yes, so why are you saying that? Okay, look, the Labour Party are stupid, but I don't think that's stupid. They're going to be like, oh, let's just go with
Keir. If you weigh up what he's saying, right, I don't want to plunge the country into instability, right?
You did that 2 years ago, mate.
People are calling for him to create a timetable for his resignation.
Yeah.
Right, he still hasn't made any comments.
So it's unlikely he's going to step down.
So that already brings...
He's not going to step down, but he's not going to be...
The only way he's going to be stepped down is...
He's going to be dragged down. He's not going to
be dragged down, and I think that pushes the timetable idea out of the question. And I think that he's the only way he's going to be taken out of leadership is he's dragged down. And I think this brave step from Catherine is is a step in the right direction for the Labour Party if they want to make any change, right? Right now, all the public's anger and all the public's outrage is reflected and pointed straight at him. And so if they want any change, they need a new face in the Labour Party. And I think the only way that is going to happen is either if he becomes the bigger person and tenders his resignation, which I think inevitably won't occur.
I mean, he said he wanted 10 more years in office.
I mean, you're not going to get another 10 weeks.
So he doesn't know what he's doing.
I think someone said you're not going to get another 10 hours.
Yeah, no. I have seen that.
On Lord Kingsburg on Sunday. But so I think it's a step in the right direction for the Labour Party. But I think ultimately, like, it's going to be have to be, you know, Wes Treating or Ange that steps up. And it will be them, because ultimately they do want to be the leader of the Labour Party. I don't admit that they're sort of righteous beings that will keep to their master the entire time. I think if they see that there's support for change in the Labour Party, they'll jump on the
wagon. Well, then they have every right to, you know, capitalise on the opportunity.
Yeah, I think they'll jump on the wagon.
So this week, Britain saw one of the biggest political shocks in recent local election history. Labour collapsed across England and Wales. Reform UK surged into real political power, and Keir Starmer now faces the most serious threat of his premiership so far. Across the country, the political system looks more fragmented, volatile and unpredictable than it has in years. The question now isn't just whether Labour can recover. It's whether Britain's political landscape is being permanently reshaped. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Ballot, and join us next week as we continue unpacking the forces that shape politics at home for our part 2 special on the elections. Thank you and goodbye.